Hi, I'm Shane Bishop, Senior Pastor of Christ Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Today I continue the Holding Steady series, and we're going to look at what it means to be unashamed in sharing the gospel of Christ. I'm ready to go. Let's get at it. We are about halfway through this summer series that I am calling Holding Steady. In this series, we've looked at Paul's teachings about what it means to hold steady in a manic culture. Now, the Greek word that we translate manic means inclined to madness. And I don't know about you, but it seems that our culture today is certainly inclined to madness. I'm not going to say that we're mad, but I am going to say that we are inclined that way. Synonyms include anxious, hysterical, worried, demonic, unhinged, feverish, and unbalanced. When I think about our culture, those things feel about right. And to greater or lesser extents, I think we all feel the pull of the mania. I think we feel it if we spend too much time in social media. I think we feel it if we spend too much time watching 24-hour news. The fact is, the powers that be and the people who sell us things have discovered something. If you keep us all in a frenzy, we'll tune in. And if we tune in, we'll buy stuff. And if we buy stuff, they'll keep us in a frenzy even longer. There's good money in mania, circa 2018. Now, God offers a clear alternative to mania. I think we could think of it as a road less traveled. In fact, the Bible teaches that people who are living God's way, according to God's word, are going to be displaying virtues like faith and hope and peace and love and patience. These are all very, very non-manic things. If you really want to look at the antonyms of mania, take a look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Google the fruits of the Spirit in the New Testament. Look what pops up. They are all antonyms to mania. So in this series, we are looking at what it means as people of faith to hold steady in a tumultuous culture. And today we're going to take a look at what it means to be effective Christian witnesses in a culture that has never more needed Christ on one hand and never has been more hostile to Christianity on the other. Before we begin, remember that Paul writes from prison. A part of this is him saying, don't be ashamed of me because I'm in prison. You may think, what has Paul done wrong? He's been a witness for Christ. That is his crime. He has been a witness for Christ. And if the people to whom he writes do what he asks, they may end up in prison too. You see, in Paul's day, having faith cost you something. Being a witness cost you something. There was never a lack of understanding around that reality. In an American culture that increasingly deems any kind of evangelism as hostile and deems the words of Jesus in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, as exclusive and close-minded, I think the temptation for a lot of Christians today is simply not to offer a witness at all. It's not necessarily that we don't believe, it's just that we're afraid we're going to do more harm than good. I just want to tell you straight up, that is not a Christian option. It just isn't. I think we are all empowered and motivated by our spiritual gifts. I have two primary spiritual gifts. I have the gift of being a teacher, and that rolls into my preaching, but I also have the gift of being an evangelist. Nothing turns my crank more than when I see people turn to Jesus, get saved, see God do something great in their life, and then see them connect into the life of the church where we can teach them God's word. I mean, nothing empowers me more than that. I just want to suggest to you that you too have been given gifts. And I don't know what your gifts are, but the Bible teaches us they vary for the work of the church. But some gifts are things that we're all called to do. So I want to say that you just deciding that being a witness isn't your thing or it's not your gift isn't a Christian option. Being a witness is one of those things that all Christians are called to do. So let me ask a question. How do we as Christian people, living in a manic and increasingly hostile culture, how do we offer a credible and effective Christian witness? Well, that is exactly what Paul is addressing in our text today. Paul's letter to Timothy is written around AD 65. Paul will never emerge from that prison. He's going to be executed there. He writes to Timothy, who joined him as a very young man, became his prized pupil, and now Timothy has been left by Paul to head up the work in northern Greece. So let's take a look at what Paul has to say to persecuted people about being a witness. Verse 6, fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. What's he saying? Get moving. Get moving. I've noticed something a long time ago. You can't steer something that is motionless. You can sit in your car if it's motionless in your driveway, and you can wiggle the steering wheel all you want, but it's not going to take the car in a different direction because the car isn't going anywhere. Now, it may make big rubber stains on your driveway, but it isn't going to take the car in a new direction. Paul reminds us we can't get directed until we're actually moving. Get going. Fan into flames. Some of you don't yet have faith. You're just kind of checking out this Christianity thing. You're looking under the hood. You're kicking the tires. I just want to tell you, that's okay. That's okay. I get it. Keep coming to church. Look into the Bible. I believe your faith will grow. Now, some of you have faith, but you don't share it. That's not okay. That's not okay. If I had a cure to a disease that everyone had, and I only used that for myself, that's not okay. If God has actually saved you, if God has transformed your life, if God has done wonderful things in you, why wouldn't you want to share that with other people? Number three, some of you have faith and you used to share it. You still have faith, but maybe you shared faith. It all kind of blew up on you somehow. Or you shared with somebody and it was kind of the proverbial good deed that didn't go unpunished. I get all that. But what I want to say is if you have faith and used to share it, I just want to encourage you to fan that flame. Just fan that flame. Get that thing burning bright again. And then number four, some of you are on fire. I got to tell you, my dad is a faith-sharing machine. What he really is great at, he invites people to church at a frequency you would not believe. My dad and I go to breakfast a lot of days a week, and I would guess that he gives 20 invitations to church to people for every one that I give. I mean, I look for opportunities. My dad thinks everything is an opportunity. He is just on fire. He's excited about the church. He just hands people invitation cards. He's always coming to the church because he's running out. Let me tell you something. I got about 5 in my wallet. They last far longer than they should. But he's got that gift of an evangelist. He's always inviting others. If you are on fire, I want to encourage you to ignite others. You know, when I've got a campfire out in my backyard in the fall time, and boy, am I ready for fall time. When I've got a campfire in my backyard, and I've got a nice little fire there, and I've got a piece of wood that isn't lit yet, I set that thing right on the hot pieces of wood, right on those big flaming pieces of wood. If you're on fire, get some people around you so that you can ignite them. And folks, if you're not ignited, get around somebody who is. I guarantee you it'll be contagious. So fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. You know, just like getting all caught up in cultural mania, failing to be a witness is responding to things in us other than God. It's not responding to what Christ has done in us. It's not responding to what the Spirit has done in us. It's responding to our own insecurities. It's responding to our own fear. It's responding to our own timidity. It's failing to do what God has asked us to do and what God has equipped us to do. You know, if you're a parent and you ask a child to do something that they're fully capable of doing, and they just choose not to do it, you're not going to be happy with that child. Particularly if it's something that you've taught them how to do, you've empowered them to do, you ask them to do it, and they simply choose not to. I want to suggest to you that God has empowered you and me to be witnesses. God has gifted you and me to be witnesses. God has given us everything we need to do what he's asked us to do. So we need to crack at it. When my grandkids kind of get asked to do something and they don't do it, or if they start whining about something, I'll always grab my eye and I'll say, oh man, something's in Papa's eye. Man, my eye's burning. And they'll all look at me and they'll go, oh, Papa. I'll say, what's in my eye? And they'll say, weak sauce. And I'll say, you need to stop squirting weak sauce in Papa's eye. My friends, when we are equipped to be witnesses, when we're empowered to be witnesses, and we just choose not to because of our own fear and timidity, we squirt weak sauce in the eye of God. Now, to aid us in our mission, God gives us three spiritual weapons. Let's take a look at them. Number one, power. The word Greek for power is dunamis. We get the word dynamite. It means that kind of power. So the first thing I want to tell you is you are capable of being a witness. You are capable of being a witness. If God calls us to be a witness, he will empower us to be witnesses. You say, Pastor, I just don't know that I believe that. And I'm going to ask you, what is it you don't believe? Do you don't believe God has called you? Because I can show you a lot of verses. Or do you not believe that you're capable? Well, if you don't believe you're capable, that really says a lot more about what you think about God than what you think about yourself. Because if God says you're capable and you say you're incapable, we're really saying that God is wrong. God, you've overestimated your own creation somehow. I love Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe witnessing isn't something that comes natural to you. Maybe you're an extrovert and being around people just sort of sucks the life force out of you. I get all of that. But I want to tell you, when it comes to being a witness to Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Number two, a spiritual weapon is love. You're capable of being a winsome witness. You're capable of being a witness that invites people, not repels people. Love is the supernatural disposition God gives his children toward the world. 1 John 4:20 says, if we say we love God, but we don't love people, we're liars. My friends, the ultimate act of love we could show another person is to share the truth of God to them. The ultimate act of love, if we know someone's going through a difficult time, is to tell them that there is a God who can deliver them through that difficulty. We don't share faith to jam something down people's throat. We don't share faith out of duty or guilt or obligation. We don't share faith because we love rejection. We share faith out of love. And we can do that in a winsome way. Just because some people witness in abrasive ways doesn't mean we have to. Just because some people get it wrong doesn't mean we can't get it right. We have to love people enough to overcome our fear and share Jesus with them. Number three, we've been given the weapon of self-discipline. So I want to suggest to you that you are capable of being an effective witness. On our vacation this year, I talked to you a little bit last week about Melissa and I just were talking about some joylessness in our lives. And we were talking about if you keep doing the same things the same way, you're going to keep getting the same results. And we knew we needed to change some inputs if we wanted different outcomes. One of the things we decided was we weren't spending enough time together. Now, I work a lot of hours. There are stretches that I really work a lot. Melissa has a life, and she works here at the church supervising and organizing our children and our education staff. She also has a lot of other things going in her life. And if we don't watch it, we may not talk to each other 10 or 15 minutes a day. She tends to go to bed early. I tend to go to bed late. She tends to wake up early. I tend to wake up 10 minutes before I've got to leave. So we decided something needed to change. So guess what we decided to do? Every morning at 6:15, we wake up and we take a walk. Now, we've been doing that ever since we got back from vacation. Will we do that for the rest of our lives? I have no idea, but we will do it tomorrow. And we will do it the next day. And so what I want to share with you is that if you want to make changes in your life, you just got to decide you're going to do it. You just got to do it. Say, well, Pastor, how do you walk at 6:15 in the morning? I found out how. You get out of bed at 6:15, you put on some shorts and a t-shirt and some tennis shoes, and then you just do it. So how can you be a witness? It's easy. You just do it. You just do it. So I want to suggest God gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You're capable of being a witness. You're capable of being a winsome witness. And you are capable of being an effective witness. Verse 8, never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And Lord, give us the strength to suffer for the proclamation of the good news. Wow. Give me the strength to suffer for the proclamation of the good news. I need you to hear this. In 2018, in the climate that is America, being a witness for Jesus may cost you something. It may cost you something. And this idea that our faith should cost us nothing is absolutely absurd. The whole of the Bible is a testament to people whose faith costs them a great deal. So just because there's been relatively no Christian persecution in America for the vast, vast majority of my lifetime, doesn't mean there will not be persecution. And we may live in a time right now when we are more likely to get pushback on a Christian witness than any other time in history. And guess what? If it happens, it happens. And we need to pray that God will give us the strength to overcome. If our forefathers and foremothers in faith had stopped sharing faith simply because there was a little bit of persecution, we wouldn't have this faith today. If people had not defended this faith in very, very real and tangible ways, at times costing them their lives, we wouldn't have this faith today. Why would we possibly think that we're going to live our whole lives and our faith and sharing our faith should never cost us a thing when other people in other times have given everything? So let me give you 10 practical ways to witness. 10 simple, easy ways that you can be a witness, all right? This isn't stuff you got to go to seminary to do. In fact, seminary will probably talk you out of every single one of them. Here's 10 ways to be a witness. Number one, let people see Jesus in you. Be an upbeat, loving, caring, positive individual. You are the Jesus many people will see. What they know of Christianity, if you are a Christian, you may be all they know of Christianity. And you know what? You need to represent Jesus really well. You need to be a liaison for the Lord. You need to be an ambassador for the Lord. And if people don't see something in you and something in me that they want for themselves, our witness is going to be absolutely null and void. So let people see Jesus in you. Number two, if you're on social media, and a lot of you are, invite people to church every Saturday night and share our worship times. So just put a post out there that says, hey, can't wait for church at Christ Church tomorrow, and share the worship times. Or maybe even share the service that you'll be attending. It is a way to let your friends know that you're going to church. It's a way of let them know where you go to church. It's a way to invite them, and it also informs them of when we hold worship services. Number three, when you get to church, if you're on social media, simply check in. There's a thing that says check in. It says Christ Church, pops right up. Just check in. And you may even want to tag people that you know that are here with you. Let your friends on social media know that not only do you go to church, but there's other people they know who do. A lot of times people don't visit a church, they're afraid they won't know anybody. It's helpful if your friends know that so-and-so, 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 and so-and-so all go to church, and they go to Christ Church. Number four, share our 9:30 Facebook Live worship service each week. On the church Facebook page, and if you're not a part of that, all you gotta do is hit a like. Every week at 9:30 Central Standard Time, we air our 9:30 worship service at Fairview Heights. So when you're getting home from church, find that, hit the share button, and say, hey, just wanted you to see what happens at our church. It can be a very, very simple, easy thing. It just takes a second. People share stuff all the time, and now people have the opportunity to take a look into our church. You know, back in the old days, they didn't have air conditioning in churches. And churches that were located in communities, and most of them were, had the windows open. So people who didn't go to church that lived in the neighborhood could hear you sing. They could hear that bell ringing. And they always used to tell me that a lot of people would never go into the church, but they stood just outside. You know, with air conditioning today, the windows are always closed. You can't hear what's going on in a church. You can't just stand outside the window and decide whether or not you're going to come in. But you can with social media. You can show them the service that we have that is captured live. And if they want to, they can just tap on that and they can stick their head in. They can just stand by the window for a moment and just see what we're doing here. Share that worship service. Number five, pick up some invitation cards. You are invited cards at your own campus and look for natural opportunities to pass them out. Now, what a natural opportunity is for you may be different than someone else. Everything looks like a natural opportunity to my dad. Fewer things look like a natural opportunity to me. But just keep some cards on you and pass them out. Number six, wear Christchurch gear in public and respond when people ask you about it. So pick up something from the bookstore that says Christchurch on it. Get a hat that says Christchurch on it. And when people ask you about Christchurch, and they will, you can talk about it. It's a way to get them to ask you. Number seven, this is huge. This is huge. I do this. I've never shared this publicly before. Pray your contacts lists on your phone. So go through your contact lists and pray over every single person that you see. Every name you see, pray over them. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to send each of those people a text message. And I'm going to say, hey, I'm praying for you today. Don't do this as a group. This is individual stuff. You're not saying, Lord, please be with everybody on my contact list. We're doing this one at a time. Send them a note, one at a time. Say, I'm praying for you today. Is there anything specific about which I can pray? You will get more responses than you can possibly imagine. Now you're in it. It's a way to share your faith. Number eight, offer a posted prayer for those asking for prayer on social media. On social media, people often say, would you pray about this? Or if you're at a restaurant or if you're in a small group, somebody say, would you guys be praying about this? Well, I'm just going to say that when that happens, just actually offer a prayer. If it's on social media and somebody says, hey, appreciate your prayers, I'm going to have surgery tomorrow. Type out a prayer. Personal message them. Or just put it in the feed, but type out a prayer. Actually pray. And that could be a powerful, powerful witness. Number nine, take that new neighbor, new coworker, or new classmate, a gift. A welcome to our world gift. And in doing so, offer a personal invitation to attend church with you. You know, when new neighbors move in, my friend Bob Swickard and his wife Gina just moved in to be the new, Bob's the new senior pastor at St. Matthew Church in Belleville. I've known Bob a long time. One of the first things I told him was, Bob, if you need any help finding a doctor or a dentist, let me know. This is a great restaurant. This is a great restaurant. I just kind of gave him my insider's tips about the community. Well, we all do that. I just want to encourage you to also invite people to church. Say, hey, we've got a great church. We do some really cool things, and we would love to have you be a part of it. Then number 10, This is the biggie. This is a Christchurch standard. Pray with people on the spot when they tell you that they're struggling. So if you ask someone how they're doing, they say they're not doing well, just pray with them on the spot. And I've said this so many times, but the prayer doesn't need to be long. It doesn't need to be real churchy sounding. You don't want to pray like a pilgrim. Lordest beest withouest. You don't want to do any of that. What you want to do is say, Lord, just please be with my friend. I know that you care deeply about him. And let him know I do too. In Jesus' name, amen. It can be something very, very simple. But when you pray with someone, you have changed your relationship with someone. And if someone shares a need, you saying, may I pray with you, can be a game changer in that relationship and can lead to so many other faith conversations. Now, I'm not talking about leading someone to Christ here. I'm just talking about 10 very simple ways to lead someone toward Jesus. This is 101 evangelism. Sharing faith has never been easier. And the persecution rates in America are still at all-time historic lows when you look at the persecution rates in the world. If we are believers, we must be witnesses. We are called to be witnesses. We are equipped to be witnesses. And if we're not witnesses, then we do not yet believe strongly enough. I want you to share your faith. But I don't want you to share it out of duty and guilt and obligation. I want you to share it because Jesus has done something incredible in you. And because you love other people enough to want to see God do something incredible in them. I'd like to ask you to join me in a closing prayer. We're going to invite the musicians to come forward. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, fan my flickering faith into a mighty flame. Take away my fear and timidity and fill me with power, love, and self-discipline. Empower me to share your good news with others. Help me to never, never be ashamed, and grant me the strength to suffer for the proclamation of your good news. I pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.